say the title of this, as always.
Wow, right off the bat. 280 mysteries we'll never get back?
Okay, that's how many EBs there are?
Said with the intonation of a talking cat?
Talking cat?
28 books, and I think they all have 10 mysteries in them per his genius formula.
Those are very slim volumes. I had forgotten that. When I was kind of digging through, I forget what the name of the book, Encyclopedia Saves Them All or whatever.
Encyclopedia Goes Hog Wild, Encyclopedia Goes Ape.
Encyclopedia, The Destruction of Jarad Sin, whatever. Anyway, I was just surprised at how few I had to choose from. But I found some good ones, so what we're doing here is we're going to read an Encyclopedia Brown, the classic famous mysteries, classic 80s mysteries by Don Sobel?
Donald Sobel, yes.
Donald Sobel. And Connor is going to try to solve them, as are you. You're going to follow along. And here we are. This is the Case of the Five Clues.
Case
of the Five Clues.
Feast of the Seven Fishes, the Case of the Five Clues.
Yes.
The Trial of the Three Blind Mice.
Shortly after 4 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, Jane Foster came into the Brown Detective Agency. Her eyes were brimming with tears. She looked from Sally to Encyclopedia. "You've got to help me," she said. "Somebody robbed my dad's store while I was minding it."
Okay.
How old are these kids again?
Yes, pretty common name for Idaville, but child labor is on par for the course here. I assume it's a feed store or something.
Well, you'll find out. "You've got to help me," she said. "Somebody robbed my dad's store." Mr. Foster owned the Sunset Five and Dime.
Oh, nice.
Encyclopedia bought his school supplies and bubble gum there. That was his bubble gum supplier.
That's keeping him in business, coming in for a bazooka once a week.
But he rightfully responds, "You should report a robbery to the police," he said. "I can't," said Jane, blowing her nose. "I don't want my dad to find out I was careless. I left the side door unlocked." She put a quarter on the gas can beside Encyclopedia. "Please help me get my money back." "I'll do what I can, but I don't have much time," said Encyclopedia. "My mom will want me for dinner in 2 hours. We don't even have 2 hours.
Police probably have the same restrictions. It's a wholesome town here.
Mom will want me. "We don't even have 2 hours," said Jane. "My dad will be back from Glen City in an hour." Gloom filled the Brown agency.
All right. Cthulhu's about to emerge.
Yes. 1 hour. Could Encyclopedia learn enough in 1 hour to solve the robbery? What do you think, if you had to guess, Connor?
I'm confident he's going to do this, but a lot of these mysteries seem to take longer than that. What was the last one? They had to go out to the dog fighting ring their guys were running, like 8 miles out of town or something?
Yeah, they had to go to like a hog feed lot, too, that one time. All right, we better get started, he said. He spoke with cheerfulness he didn't feel. "Don't worry, Jane. Everything will turn out fine." To save time, the three children did not use their bikes to get to town. They rode the number 3 bus. So again, how big is this Idaville? The bus is running at all
times. Yeah, the number 3 line. There's multiple bus lines. Okay. But I don't know. So they're abandoning the Stranger Things dynamic with the bikes.
On the way, Jane told Encyclopedia all she knew about the robbery. Here you go. I think this is the meat of it. "Wednesdays, my dad closes the store at 3 o'clock," she said. "Today, he was in a hurry to get to Glen City, so he left the store 5 minutes early. He told me to close up. I locked the front and back doors," Jane continued. "Then I went to the washroom to comb my hair. Suddenly, I heard the cash register ring. I hurried out and saw someone race out the side door."
Okay. Instantly, I'm suspecting her things have gone south for the father, running a five and dime in, 1970 or something, and he's staging his own robbery.
I got to get to Glen City. Oh, isn't the horses race, the dog racing track, isn't... maybe. I don't know.
Dad, where is Mom? How come she doesn't cover the store when you're out of town?
Anyway, you're in charge, and all the money is there in the cash register, so if,
yes,
it,
I'm saying
if
this,
it disappears...
I'm saying this in earshot of the southern states next door, so that he'll be able to vouch for me in trial. If anything happens, not that we're going to trial.
Which I'm sure, of course, will not. "How many doors does the store have?" asked Sally. 3, front, back, and side," answered Jane. "The side door is seldom used. I just forgot to lock it." Did you get a look at the thief's face? Asked Encyclopedia. No, said Jane. Everything happened so fast, I don't know if the thief was a man or a woman or a boy or a girl.
All right.
The bus had come to their stop. The three children got off and walked to a two-story white building. The Sunset Five and Dime took the entire first floor except for a brown wood door at one end. What door is that? Asked Encyclopedia. I assume it's the bubblegum storage area.
Right. We got it. This is the only thing keeping us in business.
Encyclopedia, please don't change your allegiance.
Yeah, don't really. Go don't to take Hubba up smoking.
Bub's dad. Bub dad. It leads to living quarters above the store, said Jane. So very modern, with a store on the bottom and the living quarters on front.
Yeah, mixed use space. Mixed or use just space. A place for his, you know, when things do go south at the mom, his dad is sleeping on an air mattress up there.
She unlocked the front door of the store. Sally and Encyclopedia followed her inside. Encyclopedia stared at the counter before the cash register. On the counter were a pack of rubber bands, a can of oil, a magnet, a sheet of sandpaper, and a pack of blotters.
Okay, all right. I got it.
You probably, if you looked around your office, you could come up with all of those things, right?
Yeah, they're all within earshot because I make lots of Rube Goldberg machines. Say it again.
I can read that again. On the counter were a pack of rubber bands, a can of oil, a magnet, a sheet of sandpaper, and a pack of blotters.
Okay, and all blotters right. From someone who was born in 1981 are for pens?
Yeah,
ink pens?
Soaking up extra ink. This is before the invention of the ballpoint. Jeez.
All right. So I assume this
like
is hinging on these then. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Or just he's running, he's getting the merry pranksters in there and they're dosing the whole town.
Or it's, yeah, like an old prospector. Where are my blotters?
Sorry. Let me just say it one more time. There's magnets, a can of oil, sandpaper, blotters, and hang on. What was the first one?
Rubber bands. Because this, I went out west and I brought along.
Oh yeah,
a pack of rubber
bands. My grandmother's trunk.
A can of oil. Okay.
So if it's an adventure game, he picks up all of those items and adds them to his inventory.
Makes a little noise as he picks each one up. Were those things on the counter when you locked the front and back doors at closing time? He asked. I don't remember them, said Jane. Are they clues? I think from the title, those are clues. But we shall see. Encyclopedia didn't answer. Instead, he asked to see the side door through which the thief had fled. The side door opened into a hall. At one end was the staircase going up to the living quarters above the store. At the other end was the brown door which opened onto the street. Are they clues?
He's going to try to shoot an arrow up that.
He's going to tie a diamond to it and shoot an arrow.
So there's a staircase that goes upstairs to the living quarters. There's the side door and there's a door up the stairs as well? Or that's just the door to the living quarters?
There's the door that goes to the outside. There's a side door and there's a door that goes up to the living quarters.
Okay.
Is what I understand.
Okay.
What about that door? Is that kept locked? It locks by itself when it shuts, said Jane. That's the brown door to the outside.
Okay.
He had to have a key to get past the brown door. Do you know who did it? Exclaimed Sally. Not yet, said Encyclopedia. He paused thoughtfully, then he said, the thief came down the stairs shortly before closing. He, let's say the thief was a man, didn't know Jane had closed.
Let's arrest Bugsmeany right now.
Let's just do it. Jane had closed the store a few minutes early today. You mean the thief didn't plan on robbery? Asked Sally. Correct, said Encyclopedia. The thief took five things he wanted and went to the cash register to pay for them. Already using him there. Okay.
Huh.
Sally cried. When he realized he was alone in the store, he decided to rob it. He didn't know Jane was in the washroom. That's how it looks, said Encyclopedia. When the cash register rang, as he opened it, he got scared. He fled with the money, but he left behind the five things he had wanted to buy. Okay.
Okay. I mean, it's a big assumption, though, I feel like, that he...
Don't question Mr.
Sure, right. His instincts are correct.
What is his name? Owen Brown? No.
So I like that the store was going to make maybe 35 cents on the rubber bands and a magnet, and the oil is probably the expensive thing. One piece of sandpaper? I guess it's a five and dime. But yes. This is all like stuff you'd like root through a junk drawer in your parents' house to find.
This is like when I went to get a shoe repaired. Recently, and the guy's in back eating a sandwich.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need some stitches put in the shoe. Like, yeah, you'll come back. He's Persian. He's like, you come back, you give me $10, you get the shoes. I'm like, okay. How are you pulling enough money out of this place? It's a storefront in a, like, this is impossible. Like, obviously, he must own the building, and it's just
exactly.
He's cost me more to get rid of it. Yes.
Yeah. Once I sold my tech company, this is what I decided I wanted to
do. It's kind of like the Bailey building alone. If it closes, you know, if I don't, I'm not here during open hours, like, they close me and take my building, so that's why I'm here. That's what the five and dime is with this guy. But here are the people. Who lives above the store? Sally asked Jane. The front two apartments belong to Mr. Corey and Mr. Evans, said Jane. Each lives alone. Mr. Corey works for the health department. Mr. Evans is the night watchman at the First Federal Bank. Who lives in the rear apartments? Asked Encyclopedia. Mrs. O'Quinn lives with her daughter Mary in one apartment, said Jane. Mrs. O'Quinn works as a cleaning woman and takes in sewing at night. The other apartment has been empty since the Andersons moved away 2 months ago. Can't you tell us anything more about the people upstairs? Asked Sally anxiously. I'm sorry, said Jane. I don't know any more. I don't see them often. It doesn't matter, said Encyclopedia. You've told us enough.
Oh,
who was the thief?
What?
So I told you before off air, I said it's kind of a mundane mystery.
Yes,
and but that, an insane
checks out.
An insane.
Okay, so let's just I would like to revisit those again because it came pretty quickly. There is a night watchman. There is a
Mr. Corey and Mr. Evans each live in the front apartments. They live alone. Mr. Corey works for the health department. Mr. Evans is the night watchman at the First Federal Bank. Rear apartments. Mrs. Quinn lives with her daughter, Mary, in one apartment. I was going to say, Mrs. O'Quinn, doesn't she? Is it the cow that kicked over the lamp and started the Chicago fire?
Mrs. O'Leary,
Mrs. O'Leary, okay. Getting my
bitter rivals with the O'Quinn's.
Mrs. O's mixed up. Works as a cleaning woman and takes in sewing at night. The other apartment has been empty since the Andersons moved away 2 months ago. So Dad is really Mr. desperate Anderson. At this point.
Yeah, so these
are... The Andersons were rounding. They were making our nut. We're doomed.
This was not a place for happy married couples. Everyone else there is living...
evidently not. It's
like Lenny, don't tell anyone how I live.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Head in the oven with no funeral tape to Mr. Corey's back.
Yeah, this is just depressing everybody here. We got to get to a place with the... Oh, my God. So I'm trying to think about none of those jobs seem like the, sewing, you know, that would use if there was needle and thread on the counter. So it's not, I mean, that has no connection, but sandpaper, magnets, oil,
rubber bands,
and what was the fifth thing? What was the fifth clue?
Blotters? Did you get blotters?
Blotters. That was the one I forgot.
Oil, magnet, sandpaper, blotters, rubber bands. Those are your
man. Those clues. Sound like the things of a lonely bachelor. But I don't even know if I have. I mean, there's three people to guess from, four people. So did the night watchman need those things for a heist at the bank he was plotting in his spare time? I mean, if he's already dishonest enough to rob the store, was he going to try to set up a thing with his own little contraption to prop the doors open when the bank closed at the night? I have no idea.
Wow. Okay. He's given up. It's fine. It's fine.
No, I don't feel think like this a loser.
This is when I read it, trust me, I was just like, what? That's why I picked it.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're a little kid, you read this and you're like, oh man, you're scratching your head. You're rolling around in your beanbag chair going, I don't know what this is.
Picturing a robber with a mask like the Hamburglar and a bag with money on it that he ran out of there with.
Yeah. Encyclopedia saw the strange collection of things on the counter pointed to Mrs. O'Quinn. She took in sewing, remember? She used the can of oil to oil her sewing machine.
Jesus.
She stitched through the blotter several times after each oiling. This removed the danger of getting oil spots on her material. She stitched through the sandpaper a few times to sharpen her needles.
Oh, my God.
She used the magnet to pick up dropped pins. She kept a rubber band around her spools of thread to keep them from getting tangled.
So, however, honestly, it is Zuzu might have been able to solve this one based on what someone else in Bedford Falls was doing, but...
But the real thief was Mrs. O'Quinn's daughter, Mary, 14. Okay. Mary had been sent downstairs to the store. When she got back, she told her mother the store was closed. Mrs. O'Quinn made Mary return the money at once.
And they were promptly evicted
no arrests were made. Is a new level.
That is, old-timey sewing hacks.
Does it sharpen a needle to run it through sandpaper? She stitched through the sandpaper a few times. I thought you'd have to take it and do the action of sharpening it. I didn't know you just ran it through it. That seems like it would dull it. Bits of sand on the end?
Who are you to question knowledge this arcane?
I'm sorry, my blotter knowledge is also pretty shabby at this point.
Wow. I mean...
Well, there you go.
That's a perfect Encyclopedia Brown puzzle. Impossible to solve to anyone who wasn't part of the Hoover administration.
Oh, well, that was beautiful. Well done.
Well done!
Just to even listen to it.
Oh, man.
So,
I don't know what is your
record now?
I think I got... credit on the other two, and this is a zero, an immediate zero.
Full whiff. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Well, five clues. I get. Were they clues though? I mean,
five. You had five whole clues. You couldn't even. Encyclopedia didn't even need all of them. He knew already. Wow. All right.
All right.
Thanks, everyone. We'll be back with another Encyclopedia Brown mystery.